Now it's my it's an honor to invite Sanne Grahn-Laasonen, the Minister of Education and Culture, with the responsibility for sports, to say a few words for you.
Madam Vice President and dear friends, welcome to Helsinki, and it's my great pleasure to be here and open this seminar on equality and diversity in sports. All reasons not to do sports are just excuses, said a former president of Finland, an eager sportsman. It's true, of course, that exercise is good for you, and sports activities are a very important part of most people's lives in Finland. Our government wants to provide more opportunities for physical exercise for children in a program that we call Schools on the Move. I'm actually very proud of this program. The idea is that every child gets at least 1 hour of physical exercise every day as a part of their school day. And it's kind of like a key project for us, which I'm very proud of. And sports can have an important educational role. We can learn many useful values and practices in sports activities. The importance of making your best effort, playing as a part of a team, setting a goal and working hard to reach it. You can learn all this from sports. Peace, friendship, solidarity and fair play are some of the fundamental principles of the Olympic movement. All the reasons not to do sports are just excuses, as the former president said. Unfortunately, I must say this is not always true for everybody. Studies show that discrimination still exists in the sports world. In sports, athletes belonging to minorities, especially sexual or gender minorities, may encounter different types of discriminating behavior, such as name-calling, inappropriate remarks, nasty joking, questioning their private lives, avoidance and exclusion. If you feel that you have to pretend to be someone who you are not, to lie to your own teammates, to live in a fear for your professional career, it may be, or it may feel easier to just exit. These would be actually valid reasons not to do sports, not just excuses. This is something that we cannot accept. Trust and mutual respect among citizens, together with democracy, rule of law and human rights secured by the public authorities, are what weld the world society together and are the bedrock for everybody's well-being. I take it very seriously that hate speech has been on the rise in our European societies. Especially sexual and gender minorities are often targeted by hate speech. Offensive name-calling is not about freedom of speech. Discrimination is not a matter of opinion. Prejudice is not a question of personal convictions. Misogyny is not funny. We must stand against attempts to disguise fear and hatred of the other or the different as a question that is open to debate. As a society, as citizens, as academics, as teachers, as politicians and parties, as members of the media, we must oppose attempts to dominate the public debate and public attitudes to expressions of intolerance. At my ministry, Ministry of Education and Culture, we started an action plan to combat the spread of racism and hate speech in our society. We are wielding educational and cultural policy, youth work and sports policy as tools to promote inclusion in society. In sports policy, there is a special focus on principles of equality, non-discrimination, social inclusion and multiculturalism. Starting this year, in order to receive state funding, a sports federation must come up with a plan to promote equality and non-discrimination in their field. We're going to show racism and discrimination, the red card, as we call it. Ladies and gentlemen, by organizing this event, Eurogames, the international, and this is difficult, LGBTIQ community of athletes has done a wonderful effort getting organized, working together, refusing to hide, making themselves seen and heard. This event will serve to reinforce an equal, non-discriminating culture in sports, both nationally and internationally. A culture where everyone may participate in any sport just the way they are. It's clear that sports as a physical bodily activity has a complicated relation with the question of sexual and gender identity. However, it's clear to me that even though sex, gender and sexual orientation are fundamental elements of our personal identity, who we feel we are, they must never limit what we may become. We all have a sexual orientation and gender identity. There is no reason to think that one is better than another. This is, in my view, a crucial element of modern human rights thinking. In the field of sports policy, there is generally no shortage of guidebooks, instructions, and declarations on combating discrimination. Even so, to reach the aim of inclusion, it's absolutely necessary to hear the most important voices, those that come from the minorities themselves. We need to work together to build models that allow everyone to feel welcome and safe in sports. This is especially important among children and young people. Inclusion must be built in. It must be a natural, integrated part of sports activities on all levels. With these words, I wish you all a very successful conference today, great sports movements in the Eurogames, and a very happy, bright weekend in Helsinki. And thank you very much.
Now it's my great pleasure and honor to welcome Ulrike Lunacek, the Vice President of the European Parliament, a great LGBT advocate and also an Eurogames competitor, to make an address.
Thank you very much, first of all, for inviting me also to be here and speak at the opening of this conference on equality and diversity in sports. Specifically about the topic, why do we need equality and diversity in sports? But let me first say thank you also to the Minister. And when I was listening to your speech, I thought, well, I wish every government on this continent and all over this world would have ministers who spoke like that and who mean it and who would push forward for having equality and respect for diversity really accepted everywhere. So thank you very much for that. And I know what I'm talking about. I was at Warsaw Pride 3 weeks ago, in Lithuania, at Vilnius Pride with some Finnish activists as well. And yes, more needs to be done also inside the European Union to push others to have the same speeches and also implement it. Because speaking is, I would say, very important, but at the same time also we need implementation of rules, of laws. But that's not all. And so I'd like to come to about the topic. When I read it, I said, well, why do we really need equality and diversity in sports? I thought, well, I think the most important thing for us, lesbians, gays, bisexual, trans, intersex, queer people, and people of other minorities as well, it's about being able to live a life free from fear. Because, as has been said, if you're afraid to tell your fellow football players or your fellow, I don't know, swimmers or whatever, who you went to the movies with last night, when we talk about what we did over the weekend, yeah, then you cannot live your full potential. Then you cannot be as good as you can be. Because you always might be afraid that somebody might find out, somebody might tell about you, somebody might mob you in school, in your sports organization. That's why we need to have ourselves, LGBTIQ people, open and visible, and that also requires moments of courage, I know that, but it's possible. but it also means that sports organizations have to be inclusive. And it means that, well, I'll start differently. I mean, it's good that we have Eurogames, and I've been participating at them since, I think, 99, sort of swimming. I was a swimmer when I was a teenager, or young child, but then I quit. I didn't know that I was a lesbian at that time, so it wasn't because of fear of being outed. But I just didn't want to anymore. And then I started again when the Eurogames and Out Games and Gay Games started to happen, and I do it for fun. I win medals as well, because at my age group there are not that many women participating, unfortunately. But I do it for the fun also of competing, because it's nice to be there among ourselves and to be majority in an event. We don't have that usually. Usually we're a minority. That's okay as well. But Eurogames and other events like that, they strengthen ourselves. They make us believe, yes, that we can do it, we can be good sports people as well. And I know from the swimming competitions that quite often there's records broken. Yeah? And records for FINA, for Masters, championships and records. So this is also getting ourselves accepted in the straight world. But it's also important that sports organizations of whatever level be more open-minded, that functionaries are not afraid themselves to speak out and say, yes, you're welcome, in case you fall in love with somebody from the same sex. So what? I mean, doesn't hinder you or prevent you from being a good sports person. And that makes me come to another of the clichés and the prejudices that are in lots of people's minds still. They still think that football players or referees, male ones, are not real men if they are gay. Because, you know, a real man has to be very strong and sort of, it cannot be what it's called, a sissy, a faggot, whatever. And that's why in football games, and we know that especially now at the championships, it happens in football arenas that football players who don't get the goal done, or maybe the one of Poland last night who missed the penalty and made Poland lose against Portugal, maybe some call him a sissy or a faggot, thinking that gay men are not real men. So that is also the prejudice that people have in mind of how men are and how women are, because women, football players, if women play football, very often they say, well, they're butchy women. They're not real women, because women have to be nice and so on. All these gender roles, these gender stereotypes, we break them as lesbians and gays doing sports, and trans and intersex people as well. But these gender roles are some that I, as a feminist, also have been struggling against through most of my life. So that is also why it is important for sports people, referees like him or others. There's a Spanish referee who was mobbed and who just stopped doing his sport and being a referee because he couldn't take it anymore. Yeah? But there were others who just after their career, like the German Thomas Hitzelsberger, he waited 4 months at the end of his career to come out and say, yes, I'm gay. And you know, he was called the hammer. So, I mean, that is a symbol of a very strong man. Yes, of course, gay men can be strong men. Yeah, why not? Of course they can. All of us have the potential to have sort of a whole spectrum of how to live who we are. Yeah? And also sports women, football players. Yes, they are strong women. Good that we have lots of strong women. But they can also be sort of have more female assets about you. So we all have that in our spectrum of how we want to live. So that's also in sports that are, yes, it's a big macho world still, especially when you look at functionaries at high level, look at the International Olympic Committee, at FINA, FIFA, all of them. Well, very few women around. It would help also to make these gender roles, to break them up and to make it a less macho world and to make it easier also for lesbians and gays to be out in sports and not to be afraid. But that's also why conferences like this are important. And I have to tell you that the swimming club, the Vienna one, and I'm from Vienna, from Austria, sorry, I should have said that before, where I've been swimming with for a long lot of time. Now it's difficult, you know, between Brussels and Vienna and different places. I don't get to train with them very often. I don't train very much anyway. But It's a regular football association, a football swimming association. And when I started swimming, then there were one or two of the gay swimmers who had been swimming with them since they were kids. But they had never said that they were gay. Yeah? That's about 20 years ago. And then Gay Games in Amsterdam, and I think one other one before. So Paul, this one friend of mine, he's been around in the swimming club since he was a child. And then with Euro Games and Gay Games and these sports events coming up, he also got more proud himself and started to tell that to the trainers and to his friends and fellows there. And it has come now that Vienna, the Vienna Kaulquappen, which is the swimming organization, the lesbian and gay one, we organize with the regular Vienna Diana Swimming Club Vienna Valentine every 2 years, around Valentine's Day, a tournament with people from about 15 countries, and the functionaries of the Diana Swimming Organization, most of them straight, they organize it with us. And they have been telling us, it's the best swimming tournaments we have. Because people have fun, there's good music, yeah? You know that, you realize it's a community of people who want to be together. So they have learned with us that it's just normal to be different. It's just normal to be lesbian or gay, yeah? And we can be good swimmers. So I think that is examples that makes it important for us to be more open and out in regular sports organizations. And in order not to get too long, let me tell you one thing we're doing at the European Parliament. For example, and this is about human rights in general, because very often sports events, be it football tournaments, be it Olympics, are in places where human rights are violated. Not just the ones of us, of many people. And before the Olympics in Sochi, together with other human rights organizations, there was a campaign to at least have sports people there and functionaries speak out against human rights violations, also on LGBTI people in Russia. And we wrote also at European Parliament and from the intergroup of the European Parliament on LGBTI rights, which I chair together with an Italian openly gay MEP from the Social Democrats, we wrote a letter to the IOC. And at that time, the Chapter 6 of the Olympic Charter says that there shouldn't be any discrimination. Well, it didn't include sexual orientation, because at the time it was written, nobody talked about it. And we managed, all of us together, with lots of people also from sports, some openly gay or lesbian sports people, to change that now in the Olympic Charter, sexual orientation is included. So this is progress. It's not good enough, we still need more, but events like that one here, Eurogames here, plus events like this, and openly visible sports people, be we amateurs or professionals, help a lot to change people's minds, to help ourselves and others who come, who are younger than I am, or others are, to dare to be out, to dare to be visible, because it changes, as I said, people's minds and hearts. When they find out that we are just regular people like everybody else. And that's about living a life free from fear, which I started with, and that's why we need equality and diversity in sports. Thanks a lot. Have a great conference and a good Euro Games. And thanks, Helsinki, for doing that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next, I would like to invite Birgitta Kärvinen. She is the honorary president of the European non-governmental sports organization, ENGSO. She has a long track record in sports governance and has been a sound advocate for equality and non-discrimination within the field of sports. Please.
Thank you very much. And may I say, honorable minister, it was sorry that she couldn't stay, and honorable vice president of the EU Parliament, dear participants of this conference, friends of sport. I am very happy to be here today together with you, and thank you very much for the kind invitation to this important event. I am proud that you are having this event in my hometown, Helsinki. But I have recognized, so even the sun is shining today and yesterday, so you can feel a better Finland than we usually have. It's usually raining during the summertime. I am very, very sorry to say that, but it has been very, very rainy days here also before. As said, so today's theme is very important, and I personally feel that it is the time for the sport movement to become truly a movement for everybody. Speaking about ENGSO, because I think that many of you don't know ENGSO, what ENGSO is doing, I would like to say some words. ENGSO is the European non-governmental sport organization, and we present sport in the broadest sense. Our members consist of Olympic committees and sport confederations, and sport confederations from EU and non-EU countries. We have cooperated with the Council of Europe as the first sport organization since very, very long time. And we feel that it's important that sport can bring people together, not to divide them. In that sense, so I look a little bit also how to say it's a challenging situation with the EU institution, because we were 28 at the time, now we are 27, and we have 49 countries at the European level. And in that sense, so Council of Europe and EU, it's important that we work together and we can see the sport in the broadest sense. ENGSO concentrates specially on the sport policy work, and we are constantly influencing the sport policy discussions among the different European institutions. Social inclusion and equal opportunities in sport are high on our agenda. The discussion on the next EU work plan of sport from 2017 onwards are starting in Brussels. And I am so happy that you are, Ulrike, here today, because I think that you can influence on this agenda also pretty much. ENGSO is strongly pushing social inclusion in and through sport to be included as a topic in the new work plan. And this is the way we are doing our work. We try to influence to the policy papers that these kind of things are on the agenda. What have we then done during the years? In 2010, ENGSO General Assembly adopted Manifesto on Truly Inclusive Sport. The aim of this manifesto was to encourage ENGSO members, in cooperation with public authorities and both national and international level, to take action in 8 areas. Inclusion of immigrant population, social exclusion, solidarity between generations, gender equality, racism, sexual orientation, violence and disability. So this happened in 2010, our proposal to the political decision makers. And I feel that this manifesto is still very, very important. We also wanted to raise awareness and impact relevant policies of sport organizations. And being very long-time sport leader at the national level and international level, I would like to say that we in the sport organizations have a lot to do. We should also take a very, very clear decision that we should open our doors and welcome people of different reasons to our work. The measures recommended in the manifesto included supporting educational initiatives, creating guidelines, improving cooperation, and establishing various projects. In my opinion, sport should be a fundamental right for us all. Sport organizations should enhance equality in their daily activities. Fight against discrimination should be a duty of the entire sport movement. And its best sport can be a powerful tool that influences our lives in so many ways. But there are still too many stories that haven't not ended well with this sporting word. I would like to say that welcome, Christian. I can see that you also arrived.
Thank you.
I would like to say that the role of leaders are crucial in the sport organizations. We can always have statements on paper, but it doesn't often matter. The role model you are as a leader is most important. And I will urge our leaders to be more open-minded and accept of the different and that they create an atmosphere of acceptance of different sexual orientations. What can their leaders do? There is education, campaigns, and disseminations of information are essential tools, to enhance tolerance and atmosphere of the acceptance. I am very happy that you, Ulrike, also put on the discussion the equality, because as a sport leader, as a female sport leader, I know what it means. I know what it means if you want to be a sport leader on the top. So how much you have to do and how much you have to fight. And I am sure that you in this room, you know what it means to fight for those rights which are important for you. So equality is also a matter of good governance. And that should be really on high level today in the sporting world. Good governance in sport is essential to preserve the ethics and values of sport. Given the role of sport within society to inspire and influence the transparency, democracy, integrity, and solidarity of its governing bodies needs to be assured. Some examples from Finland. Recently, a Finnish Olympic swimmer, Mr. Ari-Pekka Liukkonen, came out as gay. He is the first Finnish top-level gay athlete to come out of the closet while remaining active in his career. This news was all over the media for several days, but as he well said it, hopefully, the sports world would be soon in the state that homosexuality would not longer be any kind of news. Until then, however, we need to work hard towards more equal sport. It was interesting to follow what happened when Ari-Pekka came out, the discussion in the Finnish sporting world. And it was first time I saw that the sport leaders had to accept the reality. And it's also some kind of, shown about that there is exclusion. It's not open for everybody. And he took really a hard step when he came out. I am very happy to say that Engström and the European Gay and Lesbian Sport Federation have signed a memorandum of understanding to work together towards this more equal sport. We have the same values and we will do our utmost to make sport open to everyone. We will keep on advocating for the rights of sexual minorities within sport and the European institutions. And one idea could be to organize a common project with the European Gay and Lesbian Sport Confederation on the topic in the future. So I now urge you, everybody, also on the, from the Finnish sport movement, that keep this in mind. ENGSO has done excellent projects during the years, in social inclusion and other items, and we have been very successful in the Erasmus program. So this is something that I give to you to think over, and I would like to see some common project in the future when the new working plan of EU will be established. We have in Brussels a Finnish lady as a policy director, Mrs. Heidi Pekkola, who is based in the office of the European Olympic Committee. ENGSO has its office together with them. And she is open to all the cooperation and also sent her best regards to Finland and said that sorry that she cannot be here today. She has to work in Brussels, but I would like to say that ENGSO's doors are open for a new cooperation and I look forward to hear about this. Thank you very much that I had this opportunity to be here today together with you, and I wish you all the best during the days, lot of fun and lot of making new friends and bringing home something that we call Helsinki atmosphere. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're very fortunate to have such strong leaders and advocates, allies here with us today and also working with us. Next, we will move on to the... Also, actually, this is another athlete speech already by Toni Piispanen, who is a wheelchair sprint. That's your right. Did I say it right? Wheelchair sprint, right? Good. And he also works at the National Board for Sports in Finland. Please, Don.
Okay, dear Vice President, dear friends, it's my great pleasure to be one of the support athletes of the game. Like I said, I'm a Paralympic champion in London 2012, and I'm also working in the Ministry of Education and Culture and in the International Sport Council, which is promoting equality in sport also. So, can you put the slide? Here you can see the structure of the National Sport Council, and one of the greatest thing is the first time ever we have our own division for equal opportunities and gender equality. That's a really good thing, because the National Sport Council deals with questions relating to sport policy and follows developments in sport. So now we have a good chance to promote these items and better than before. So London 2012 changed my life a bit, actually quite much. Winning a gold medal was something unbelievable. And let me tell you a small story. After the games, I was recognized in a local small shop in Vuosaari, where I live. And two children, age of 8 or 9, came and stop me and ask a couple of questions. The first they asked me, how many clubs you have? So I answered them, 3 or 4 clubs every year. And then they ask, how many tires you use in every year? And I said, about 6 pairs of tires. And then they ask, how many times you train in a week? And I answered them, I can train 10 to 12 times a week, and I have to go trainings even if he trains. And then a big silence. Then they look at each other and ask me, why? That's a really important question. Why? Why do we train so much, and why do we put all the efforts to achieve something big? And I was injured in 93 in a karate accident. I fell down the floor and broke my neck, and that's why I'm sitting in a wheelchair. And before the accident, I had some kind of a maximal potential. And then I did very much a job and tried to reach some new maximal potential. And this journey from to gain new maximal potential is much more important than a gold medal in London. And I have many times said to media that if you want to say something about me, it's not about gold medal, those 20 seconds in London, but 20 years I have done hard work to gain that medal in London. That's most important thing to me. And in a hospital, when I was thinking about my life, and I have to rethink my life a lot, I have to do some choices. So first choice was that I had to think positive things. I tried to find at least one positive thing in my life every day. And secondly, I didn't stop believe that there will be better times ahead. And thirdly, I decided to try to be as normal human as possible, and I try to work very hard to gain it. And later, when I set a goal, I didn't let anyone destroy my dream to achieve my goal. And then I wouldn't quit whatever happened. And I would say that mindset is everything, and we all have our dreams, and the ways to achieve them differs a bit. And many times I have said that those people who ask how I achieve my goals, firstly, these 4 things, knowledge, skills, passion, and never give up attitude, is the most important. And first, we have to have knowledge about surrounding world, the things which affect our goals. And then we have to have skills to put things into action. And then we have to have passion, big heart, to work every day. And then one of the most important things is never give up attitude. And I wish you all great games here in Helsinki, and dream big. Thank you.